1, 2. Hello, I'm Sarah Beeny and this is Round the Houses, a podcast about some of the most interesting people I've ever met, and more importantly, where they live. I'm going behind closed doors and through the keyhole to find out some home truths from this group of well-known, well-loved and well-mannered individuals. Presenters, YouTubers, musicians, no one can hide from my roving podcast microphone. On this episode, we meet Lynn Bowles. You probably know Lynn's voice from her remarkable 18 years as a traffic reporter on BBC Radio 2, but her career as a broadcaster goes far beyond that. She left Radio 2 in March this year, with Chris Evans presenting her with a Land Rover as a leaving present, as you do. She's now concentrating on the weekly BBC Radio Wales show she's been presenting since 2014. Here in Southwest London on a Victorian terrace street, and it's very quiet, very sleepy. But today I'm going to do a podcast with the wonderful Lynn Bowles, who Graham, my husband, and I met when we were at supper to friends, and she agreed to do this for me, which is very exciting. Now, it's very kind of you. Thank you very much for letting me come into your home.
And who says no to Sarah Beeny?
Well, people do.
Do they? That's outrageous.
No, I'm going to ask Prince Charles, but I think he might say no.
No, of course he'll say
no. Do you think he'll say
yes? He will have seen you on the telly. I bet he's a big fan.
Do you think? Yeah. Actually, I met him once. He was terribly nice. And he knew about my dating website.
No.
Yeah.
What was he doing on that dating site?
Well, I didn't say he was definitely on it, but he might have been.
Okay. Okay, that's...
Probably wasn't. I'm not saying anything, but I suspect he had a really good researcher. He just whispered in his ear, she's got a dating website, that's what you should talk about. Because I don't actually think he knew who I was at all, but he was very charming anyway. He's very nice.
He's been very nicely brought up.
He has been very nicely brought up. So manners do maketh man and woman, don't they?
I think they're immensely important, and it sounds really old-fashioned and a bit mad of me, but I'm totally up for that.
Do you think you're quite old-fashioned?
I probably am. My parents were quite old when I was born. So my parents were born in the 20s.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. And I'm, what, only, what, 15?
Yeah.
No, I'm lying about that.
That's amazing.
It's amazing.
You're 18, really, aren't you?
Yes. And I was born late in their marriage. So I have how they saw the world, really.
So really, in a way, you're sort of mentally, you're kind of... half a generation above
at least your
peers in a way. Yeah. And you look about 21. So you're then two generations below everybody. Like you're
this
kind of...
is radio, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's podcast. Nobody can see. Okay, we can carry on with this.
You do look 21, though.
Yeah, but she's lying, everyone.
But your parents were like that.
Were well old.
So they were born in the 20s, had you late.
Yes, in the 60s.
In the 60s.
So that means my father was in the Second World War, so I got all that stuff as well. Yeah,
So he was active in the Second World War?
Yeah, he was in the Royal Navy. He got blown up like three times. I mean, it's just mad stuff. These men did extraordinary things.
Amazing.
And we're losing them all now, of course. That's the sad thing. Anyway, were you nicely brought up?
I was dragged up, really. I think I was, actually. It was sort of terribly liberal and strict at the same time. Does that make sense?
No.
No, it doesn't really. I was allowed to do pretty much what I wanted until I didn't do what I was meant to do, and then there was absolutely no shifting on that. So it was sort of terribly liberal. So I went into railing when I was 15.
15?
Around Europe.
Good heavens.
And I look back now and think, wow. I don't remember my father ever stopping me. I did say I'm going to go into railing, and he said, no, you can't. I'm not paying for it. I said, don't worry about the money. I'm going on Saturday. And he went, right, well, have a nice time then. And that was the end of that.
Okay. It's so, made you the woman you are today?
Well, I think so. I think I was sort of determined to be independent, but I don't know why I was trying to be independent. I mean, like, did you want to be independent when you were young?
Well, I didn't have much choice. I was sent to boarding school when I was 5.
Nice, yeah.
And you learn pretty... I think my parents hated me.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Were they posted abroad or something?
No, they just decided.
Were you an only child?
No, I was the youngest by a long way.
Ah, so you were a little extra.
Yes. That's exactly what I probably was.
You were a little...
Oops. Oh, look, another child.
So, hang on, so they were married in the 20s, your dad was in the war, and then how many older siblings
I've just got two older siblings.
And how much older were they when you were born?
My brother is 16 years older than me, and my sister is 9 years older than me. So there were big gaps between us.
So they... Do you think they...
I have no idea, and I didn't want to ask.
It's not an active... moving on. Once every 8 years, that'll do. So I had a much older stepmother. To me, she had a whole different set of rules. So she was in the war, but my mother was a hippie from, like, the 70s. And then she died when I was young. So I'd had kind of the hippie...
And then you had the wartime.
Yeah,
fascinating.
Which was bizarre, you know, like... Boys don't go in the kitchen, girls wash up, that sort of thing, which was quite contrary to my mother and weird to have at 12.
But you could understand both sides.
Now I can. I think that growing up's complicated, isn't it?
It is a bit.
It is complicated.
I think people have written books about it.
Have they?
I think they
maybe I should read one.
Maybe, possibly.
Yes, yes. And so when did your parents die? How old were you when your parents died?
I was in my late 20s.
Okay, so they knew you growing. You knew them as you were growing up.
Yeah. I'm pretty certain I knew their names.
Just about. And what did they do? What kind of a home did you have?
My father was a marine engineer, and my mother was the traditional housewife.
Okay, and where were they based? Where did they live?
Cardiff. We're all from Wales. We're all from Cardiff.
Okay. You lost your accent.
Well, I never had one because I was sent to boarding school when I was very young.
Was that full boarding then at
five? Oh, gosh, yes.
And did you enjoy it?
It was great because I was the youngest one there and all the other girls just took care of me. It was fantastic.
So you were fine from day one at five, turning up?
Yeah.
Presumably, when you were back at home, if they were much older, it was quite a traditional, sort of not quite the helicopter parenting that you see nowadays. No. So it wasn't that different going to boarding school than being at home?
Not really.
Really?
No.
Because you weren't all...
It was different then. I mean, you know, people seem involved in their children's lives these days.
Yeah, do you think that's good?
You're asking the wrong woman.
No, it's kind of interesting because part of me thinks it's a really bad thing and part of me thinks it's a really good thing and I can't quite decide.
I know what you mean, I know.
Which it is.
It's not all good and it's not all bad.
That's very wise. A bit good and a bit bad. Maybe a little bit.
Well, is it a good enough parent now, they say, isn't it? You're doing your best. Nobody does it brilliantly, but everyone's trying to be at least good enough.
But don't you think people have always tried to do their best?
No, I'm not sure they have.
But in the understanding of what they did at the time, the fact that they didn't think it was required to go and do anything with their children, that was all that was expected. It wasn't weird when you were sent to boarding school at five to send you to boarding school at five. Well, it might have been a bit weird. But it wasn't, nowadays you'd think, can you imagine a Wandsworth woman who would go, there's no more, he was five. I know he was on the swings last week, he's gone to full-time boarding, we're going to see him in the summer. That probably wouldn't
go down well.
No.
Just realising, gosh, this is really...
It is a different...
I may have to go into therapy after speaking to you now.
To be honest, I'm here. Don't you worry.
A weekly therapy with Limbaugh's. Yes.
And so when did you leave home and then...
Five.
Well, I know, but...
no,
after the five.
After that. I went and did a degree in Coventry at 18 and then came to London to seek my fortune, a little spotted handkerchief and all of that.
Yeah, with a stick.
And that's why I washed up here in South London.
Oh, I see. Mm. What was your degree in?
What's it called? Physics. Communication studies.
Mm, gosh, so you're still learning then?
Still learning.
It
really hasn't gone down well. I don't know what I was thinking.
What a silly degree to do for your career.
Sorry.
So communications.
Yes, communications.
Did that, do you think, in any way help with your amazing radio career?
You call this an amazing radio career.
Totally.
I'm not sure it helped at all because I think higher education is just about learning, unless you're being a dentist or a vet or a doctor, you know. It's just about, just learning. I just think it's good for people to learn stuff. And I learned a great deal on extraordinary subjects, things that I don't think I would have thought about before, about the media, the mass media, about psychology, about sociology. So it's all the forms of communication.
And then you went to London?
Yeah, came to London to seek my fortune and failed miserably and ended up in this house.
Oh, gosh, so that was, you came here yeah. and bought this house?
Almost initially. Immediately. Do you remember when we used to have bedsits?
Yes.
Yeah, I was in a bedsit for a while in Tooting. And then in Merton, because that was the late 80s then. And the housing market are completely crackers. And I'm in a particularly unfashionable part of South London here. I managed to buy this house for a lot of money to me.
Yeah, but it probably wasn't that much nowadays.
It was bobbins.
At the time, it was
a lot of money. And I could just about handle, you know, the interest rates and all that.
Can you tell me? You don't have to.
Well, how much it cost?
Yeah.
I genuinely have difficulty remembering. I think it was the...
Let me guess, it was 57...
I wish it were. No, it was more like 100, I think, at the time.
Okay.
It's just two bedroom. I mean, it's quite a small house, as you can see. You know,
it's sweet. It's lovely.
It's how kind of you to say.
It's very lovely.
But it's in like a little. It's just a little run of the same sort of houses, which is charming. I think. Obviously, I imagine that one builder got the deal, bought this land,
whacked them up.
Yeah, don't say whack them up. They're beautifully artisan building. No, and built them all together in one go because they're all roughly the same. I think it was 1905 this house was built.
Okay, so did you look at lots of houses? Or
at the time, there were hundreds of awful flats on the market, and really at the time some really dodgy areas. And they were really expensive for nothing. And this was in a bit of a state. It had been, in inverted commas, done up, you know, not fantastically well. And the other thing is you would be gazumped then. I don't know if that's coming back. So all the expense of buying a house is a nightmare. That's why I never did it again.
Once is enough.
I'm not doing this again. This is a nightmare.
So when did you start on Radio 2 then?
Yeah, 2000, I think it was 2000, something like that, yeah.
And how did that happen?
It was because I'd been working on Radio 5 Live. I'd been the drive time traffic reporter, and I'd been working with a bloke called John Inverdale and Eddie Mayer. It was fine. I'd been there for about 8 years at 5 Live. That was great. And I was told, contact Radio 2. I think they're looking for a new traffic reporter. And I fancied a change because we were in Television Centre there, which at the time was an absolute nightmare to get to from here. Radio 2 was in Broadcasting House, which is in Central London. So I rang them. I mean, really old. It's the only time I've ever rung up for anything because I'm really scared. I'm a real fraidy cat and I think I'm an idiot. So I'll never call anyone and say, give me a job because I'm hopeless, you know. I was like, oh. But I was told to call this person and just say, hi, my name's Lynn Bowles. I believe you're looking for a traffic reporter. And the person on the other end of the phone, whose name I cannot give you, said, thank you very much, Lynn. We'll be in touch.
Did you think, when you were young, did you think traffic is where I'm going?
No, of course not.
Of course not.
No. I didn't even know there were traffic reporters. I just stumbled into it. I'm an idiot, Sarah. You know, I just stumble around.
Not an idiot.
No, I just stumble around and, you know, just, I really did fall into it. I came back, I'd spent some time in America and I came back from America and it was the early 90s and there were no jobs at all. I read an ad for, are you any good at geography and do you have a good voice or something? And I knew that my voice sounded older than I was because I used to pick up the phone at home when I was a kid. I was about 12. Hello. And they'd always say, hello, Mrs. Bowles. I go, hang on a second. This is her daughter. I was, you know, young. I'm going to get my mum now. And I knew I had a slightly odd voice. You can't actually hear your own voice. You have no idea what your own voice sounds like. So I thought, oh, I might be able to get away with this. And I ended up working for an American traffic company. That's all they did was traffic reports. They taught me how to be a traffic reporter. And then Radio 5 Live started. They needed a traffic reporter. So I was taught the BBC way. And I stayed with them for 8 years.
And what was the best thing that you ever had to read out? Was there ever a sheep on the track?
There's always a sheep.
I love the
There's
sheep.
There's always a sheep. And
yeah.
I remember being
or mother
sent,
duck.
Yes. The other thing is during the winter or during autumn, swans and ducks will land on motorways which are slick with water because they think they're lakes or rivers. And the sun is shining on them. They don't realise. I try not to go with livestock. I'm going to be honest.
because there's a lot of amusement
because
in that.
There's too much amusement in it. And I'm trying to
know. Everyone's giggling.
Everyone's giggling. And it's like, let's not do this.
And so did you ever want to branch out into another area?
I was just amazed to be in employment that paid me. Just just I was
a mere woman.
Yeah, a mere woman. And to be paid by, and to be at the BBC. I was astounded to be at the BBC. BBC employed me, for heaven's sake. They still do. And we're still on Radio Wales. I'm just delighted to be at the BBC. I know that sounds really awful, doesn't
it? They're very lucky to have you.
I'm not sure they always think that.
I think they are.
No.
Did you ever find it frustrating when you were doing the traffic too? That you couldn't, did you ever think, I really want to have a little bit of a rant today about something or another, and you couldn't because you didn't
I'm
have
not
space.
A ranty person, look at me. I'm a fluffy bunny. I don't rant about stuff.
You're not an angry person.
I'm
at
not
all.
An angry person, no.
And so, but you will have met lots and lots of radio presenters and guests over the years.
Yeah.
Will you spill the beans about who is the nicest?
Yeah, I will.
Go on then.
Dolly Parton.
Oh, big fan. Massive fan.
Glad to hear.
Love her.
She came into Five Live. I've never seen so many people milling about, you know.
Yes.
Amazing. Yes. I was thinking, it's not usually busy in this corridor.
They're all sweeping the floor.
Oh, just like, yeah, just kind of.
Empty the bins.
Yes, unbelievable.
Polishing.
They would interview someone for half an hour and they would put the traffic in the middle, and I always felt like such a twerp. Doing the traffic in the middle of it. Andy Williams. We had Andy Williams, the singer, in. And they stopped it to do the traffic. And I looked at him as if to say, sorry. Sorry, I've got to talk about the M6. I know you're Andy Williams and you're terribly important. But anyway, yeah, so again, she's interviewed for 15 minutes. And I felt like such a twerp. It's Dolly Parton. Here I am, you know, M6 really slow southbound. Goddess of country music. Oh no, don't worry, you carry on.
Just talking about
absolutely. Yeah, Count the M25 was there, obviously. So I do my M25, and you do feel like such a twerp because it's a, you know, M25 is really slow southbound, and it was Limbaugh's Five Live Travel. And again, I looked up, they hit the music because I've got a bed at the end, there would be a finishing bed, and then we go into trail. And she looked at me and she said, "You're so sweet."
And oh my God! Oh,
and it's like, well, you know.
Well, that's it. Did you say, is there any chance you could write that down so I can push in the downstairs loo?
Yeah, exactly. And it was all before selfies and all of that. And she was charming. Could you love Dolly Parton? Well, of course you couldn't. She's
no, I loved
sweet.
Her so much before. Now I'm super loving
her. I can confirm she's a wonderful woman.
Oh, do you know, it's so lovely to not be disappointed by someone wonderful.
Yeah,
that's so fantastic. She's got some of my favourite lines. One of them is someone asked who did her hair, and she said, "I don't know, I'm never there." So brilliant.
She's a funny woman, isn't she?
Really, she's really funny. So talented. Yeah.
Takes a lot of money to look this cheap.
Yes, yeah, so I mean, brilliant. Yeah,
she's a wonderful woman. We love
wonderful.
Her.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely in the club. So that's, amazing. So is that the person who you've been most wowed by meeting?
Yeah, it is, because the trouble is I'm generally unimpressed by people. And I don't mean that in the...
disappointed is what you mean.
No, yeah.
Generally disappointed.
Well, no, but, you know...
No, I know what you mean.
You've met a lot of dead famous people. I mean, you've met Prince Charles, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, how important am I?
People are people. We're all the same.
Yeah.
You know, why should you be any more important than anyone else? I think everyone's important or everyone's unimportant. So we're all kind of, we're just everyone.
And we have different jobs. And that's the weird thing about fame, which has kind of totally changed in the last 15 years to before. But the weird thing about it is it somehow escalates your importance level. So
and that's
why
absurd.
A consultant surgeon who saves people's lives is less important than someone who's been...
Larks about on the radio for a living.
Well, no, obviously, you're really
Well, no, but that's
but
it,
actually,
isn't it? And you either like people or you don't, or you get on with them or you don't. So I've met lots and lots of people, and they're all lovely, but you meet them for a very short amount of time. So it's the ones like June Whitfield and Dolly Parton who really... They really stick with you, you know. They're just good people.
So this is your front sitting room.
Yeah.
And it's quite empty. There's nothing on the shelves. Is this because you're moving?
It is exactly the reason. Yeah, I'm moving home to Wales. So this is going to be on the market soon.
And tell me, where else in your home? This is your sitting room.
Yes.
Which is lovely.
Yes. Front
gorgeous.
Room. Yeah.
Where are we going next?
I think we should go to the front bedroom, which is lovely and sunny this time of day.
Great.
I think this is a nice room. This is my front bedroom.
Lovely.
So it's got two... what are those?
Sash windows.
Right.
sash windows, two lovely sash windows, which are, it's really light and bright.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
I want to know, this is incredibly tidy.
Go
is this
on,
because you're packing?
Damn.
Or is
damn
it?
Damn busted.
Actually, you don't genuinely live like this.
All the time.
It's immaculate. No human being could live like this.
You took one look at me, Sarah, and you knew that I don't live like this.
It's not possible. It's not possible.
Yes, it's very tidy. I want it to look... Because I've watched you and other people on the telly about selling houses, and you always say depersonalise and make it look tidy. That's an English tidy, not a Welsh tidy. Well, it might be a Welsh tidy as well.
What's a Welsh tidy?
Tidy is... The English use tidy the way the Welsh do when you say it is a tidy sum. That was a tidy sum of money. It is a good sum of money. It's tidy. So if you think of it like that... That's how we mean it. It's like, oh, that's good. That's tidy.
Oh, yes. Actually, that is true.
So you do, the English do use it.
So this is a lovely big room. Gorgeous.
Tidy.
Lovely.
Tidy. It's a tidy in both senses of the word.
Yes. Super. Double tidy.
Double tidy. Double tidy. And that's all I'm trying to achieve, making it look as sort of blank, but hopefully welcoming.
Which is your favourite room in the house?
I always like a kitchen.
Okay, let's go to the kitchen. Okay, I want to see it.
So through the dining room with the stairs in.
Got a lovely garden. Look at
your
garden.
Oh, do you like the garden?
Isn't that fabulous? Who did you do this? Or is this...
Yeah, I did it one weekend. No, I got someone to do it.
I'm thinking... Who did that?
Yeah.
That is beautiful. It's completely landscaped with a sort of bending, meandering, paving and amazing
plants. They call that a
rill,
apparently. I wanted a stream because I'm Welsh, we like water. And they said, oh, we'll put a rill in for you. And I, what's a rill? It's a very, very small stream. There's little cobbles in it and then it just runs down to,
Gorgeous. So this is your kitchen.
Right, so a little place to eat here.
Lovely.
And it's a galley kitchen. I didn't know what a galley kitchen was until I lived here.
If you're on a boat, you might have known.
Yeah, so it's just I would call it a shotgun. So it's within good, easy range. This kitchen wasn't like this when I arrived. This was kind of an outhouse. And the boys came in, my mate Lenny and the lads came in and they built this for me. And they did a magnificent job. So, yeah, I think it was a potting shed what was standing in there.
Oh, I see. So you did a sort of extension to the back, but not to the side.
No,
so
exactly.
You just carried on going.
Yeah, exactly. Just a little bit. Yeah. I've done this kitchen twice.
So the worst thing about living in a house a long time, I think, is that the things you've done are undone again.
That's really annoying. That's really
it's
annoying.
It's time to go.
Okay, thanks. That's a professional opinion there, everyone.
Tick box.
Yeah, tick box next time.
Yes. Okay. Tell me where you're moving to in Wales.
I'm going home to Wales, going home to Cardiff, which is into the house where I was born and brought up.
Oh, gosh. Mm. How amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So you've going got... Home. You've got... Literally are going
literally
home.
Literally going home.
Are you going to move back into your bedroom? Because that would be really weird. Or was it a little tiny
weird.
Box room?
I hadn't thought of that. I have to be honest with you, I did knock down the old house because it was so damp and unpleasant, and I rebuilt.
Amazing.
And rebuilt a house. So I've done a lot of building.
When did you build that?
It was probably about 7-8 years ago now.
And is it modern or
yes,
old?
Yes, very modern.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
How? What
it's,
kind of
it's,
style?
It's green oak.
Lovely.
So lots of glass because in Wales, you either live at the bottom of a hill, halfway up a hill, or on top of a hill. We've got a lot of hills. I'm on top of a hill.
So, so you're moving back home, but not into the old house.
No, not into the old
house. Into a lovely new house, which is probably warm, dry.
Yes, warm, draft-free.
Yeah.
I hate drafts. That's not my thing.
Draft. And does it use no energy at all?
Yes, it's very,
totally
it's very, yes. I mean, we were just piling the coal on the old fires in the old house. It's just, you know, just still back her up, lads. Yeah, bring it in. A couple of ton of coal. And now it's much nicer.
Lovely.
Much nicer. In fact, it probably costs less to run it, to heat it, than this house does. And this is a two up, two down.
And your home in Wales, is it like this? Or have you done a completely different look?
No, it's like an hotel. I like all that kind of greys and browns and beige, you know, the dreadful beiges, you know, all that kind of stuff. I like all that.
So nice and sort of simple.
My mother was proper chintz, you know? And patterned carpets. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was all great stuff, but it just gave me a headache.
You're not a pattern carpet
girl,
then.
No, I don't like patterns. I don't like patterns.
Want it simple.
Yes.
Straightforward.
Yeah, it's like noise to me.
See, I quite like a pattern carpet. I'm sure they're coming back in. I keep saying it, thinking they will if I say it enough.
If you say it enough, it'll happen.
I reckon so. So tell me, what are you going to do down in Wales in your beautiful new house? You're recording how many days a week?
I'm on BBC Radio Wales every Sunday from 2 until 4.
And what are you chatting about?
Anything. It's kind of, it's the classic magazine programme. So it's music, and I talk to all sorts of guests, celebs, you know, singers, dancers, film stars, whatever. Anyone I can persuade to come. Ooh, anyone I can persuade to come on the radio. Hey, Wales. I've just had a great idea.
Brilliant.
I'll get that Sarah Pini on.
Ship to Wales.
Okay, good. You can come stay in house. And yeah, I've got this field out the back. So I thought I might have some chickens, and I might have some sheep, and I might have some pigs, and have a vegetable garden. You know, it'll be like the good life, but really muddy.
Yeah, and actually, good. My parents were self-sufficient, my mother and father, and it just seeing it doesn't work. But it's actually great as a concept. Conceptually, it's brilliant. But actually,
thanks for that. No, that's great. This is my whole life. I've given up my big job on Radio 2.
Your
and
dream.
Sarah Beeny says it's all going to fail miserably, Bowles. No, this is great. No, I'm having a great time.
It will work, honest girl. But you're not expected to actually live off the land. You're just
going
to have some pets, basically.
Basically, yeah.
Some pets which you won't want to kill. No. Because they will have little names.
A little bit worried about that bit.
Yeah.
And I think the trick is not to name them.
So did you have to get rid of a lot of stuff when you packed up here?
This is when it gets a little bit kind of sad, because I lost both my parents, I found that they had a lot of stuff that they'd never used, or it felt like there was a lot of stuff they'd never used, and there was stuffed in cupboards and all of that, and it just made me incredibly sad. It was all this stuff, and that's what your life is, stuff. And from that moment, I've been trying to get rid of stuff all the time. But I don't know, it's awfully difficult, you know. Yeah, I don't have a lot of stuff, really, I think. I seem to have a lot of paperwork.
Well, that's very annoying.
Who doesn't?
You're not a hoarder. You're not sentimental hoarder.
No. I mean, there's always stuff where you think, actually, don't keep this. But I never know what to do with it.
No. And actually, once you've got rid of it, it's lovely. You're liberated.
Yes.
And you don't have to. Because
yeah.
I think we can end up having so many possessions that your possessions end up
owning you.
And your job is moving your possessions around and storing your stuff.
Absolutely ridiculous, isn't it?
And so this house, you've been in this house a long time, and it's been your home for a long time.
Yeah.
And it presumably is full of happy and some unhappy, but mainly happy memories.
Happy memories. And of course, and it taught me how to be a householder, you know, because you have to fix things and you understand how things work, and then you learn how things work. So I did all that as well. And I've done a lot of DIY here, you know.
So you've done a lot of the work here yourself. This has got you printed all over it.
I papered this flipping room.
So you're not going to be sad to leave this, which is...
I will be sad. I used to joke about how I wanted to stay in this house until, you know, die here with my boots on kind of thing. But think, you know, amazingly, life changes incredibly. And I could never see myself leaving here, but now I can, because my life has changed. But I will be sorry to leave. I mean, I'm looking out the back window now. There's a beautiful prunus tree there, which is kind of a coppery colour. And there's a lilac there, which is blossoming white. And a Sambucus nigra there, which is beautiful as well.
Bit of a gardener as well.
No, I just remembered that and I thought it would impress you. So it's very, very lovely. It's a very lovely garden. But you know what? Things change. And you've just got to go with it, haven't you?
I think it must have been a big move and a big decision to make.
Yeah, it was.
To move away from something that is your familiarity and your roots are here. You know, this is where it is, really, because it's been here for a long time.
Because it's my adult life here, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's what it's about.
Really. And actually, you're not a child, even though you act
like an idiot. Thanks for that, Sarah.
All your adult life you spent in this house, which is a big thing to kind of, like, that move away from, move on from. How was that decision of moving, of leaving the, Radio 2? How did that come
it
about?
It really wasn't easy, and it really is about quality of life, I'm afraid. To put it in a nutshell, I've been getting up very, very early for 18 years.
What time?
I'm supposed to get up a little bit before 5, but you end up waking up about 4 o'clock, which means you have to go to bed about 9, 8, and it's... just not, it's not great. And you can do that for a while. But what really put the tin hat on it was I took a job in Radio Wales so that I was presenting a show there every week. So you end up not having any time, really. I had Saturdays off, really, and you're travelling for a lot of the time. And I did that for about, I've done that for about 5 years, and it just wore me out.
Long time.
And I love both of the jobs and all that, but in the end, it's kind of, I just can't.
Wales won.
Why? Unusually. I'm just a bit kind of tired,
yeah.
Really. And it's a really naff excuse, I think. It's a real kind of checking out excuse, rubbish excuse, but I've just got to the point where I need to do something different with my life.
Yeah, I think it's perfectly reasonable. 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 days a week, and then commuting to Wales for Sunday show is quite a lot to do, actually.
Yeah.
And even for the supersonic involves, it's actually still quite a lot to do.
Yeah.
And quality of life does sort of win eventually, doesn't it? Well, it should win.
Yeah, it's something I said, I had a chat with the Radio Times about me leaving, and it's something I said to them, which is, I found the last 5 years or so, a lot of friends and friends of friends, I've noticed, have been having health problems. You know, the guy in his 40s had a stroke. In lots of people have been going down with cancers and brain tumours and all sorts of terrible, I mean, awful news, just terrible news. And I just came to the conclusion, my life is not infinite. Probably not, even for me. And I maybe need to do something different with my life. We all have to do different things and have a different time.
Thank you very much, the wonderful Lynn Bowles, for giving me so much time and showing me around your wonderful house. And good luck in Wales with my husband and the sheep. It's been great. Yeah. Thank you.
It sounds weird.
Does it?
Yes, it sounds a bit weird.
Do you think we should...
Yeah.
Yeah, should we undo that?
I think we should just stop.
Okay, let's stop.
What a joy to spend an hour with the gorgeous Lynn Bowles in her lovely home, even if it is currently stuffed full of boxes for her impending move to Wales. Loved the Dolly Parton story. You can listen to Lynn every Sunday at 2 p.m. on BBC Radio Wales, and you might even be able to buy her house if you're quick enough. Thank you so much for all your lovely podcast reviews. P. Rawl UK says, "This is the first time I've listened to a podcast and I love it. Sarah makes you feel like you're really in people's homes having a natter. It's both interesting and relaxing at the same time." So thank you so much for your lovely comments. It helps more people discover us. So if you're enjoying Round the Houses, please do rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. And we're also on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you usually listen. And on the next episode...
We were very much a part of that NME thing. We would be in the gossip columns a lot, you know, and it was very much like they would... Apparently, we had to be in every single week. I forgot about this until the other day. Someone reminded me. And they used to say really nasty things like, I had given birth in the Dublin Castle toilet.
I'll be in the beautiful countryside home of musician turned fashion designer Pearl Lowe, talking addiction, family and her love for incredible interiors. Thank you to Lynn, thanks to the producers Angela Robinson and Matt Hill and Lucy Dearlove at Rethink Audio, and thanks to all of you for listening. See you soon!